In Daniel 11, a remarkable section of detailed prophecy given by an angel to Daniel is found. In previous messages, I have referred these prophecies as Daniel's prophecies, but I should have described them differently. So Daniel did not actually make any of these prophecies other than recording them in this book. In reality, these prophecies were given to Daniel by an angel. It starts with four Persian kings and then includes Alexander the Great, followed by the Ptolemies and Seleucids until Antiochus Epiphanes, and then includes Antiochus Epiphanes himself. All the details of these predictions have since been literally fulfilled. The literal fulfillment of prophecy, which has already been fulfilled in the past, provides a pattern for the literal fulfillment of Scripture, which has not yet been fulfilled. It indicates that it will likewise be literally fulfilled. And this is the clue to understanding not only the rest of chapter 11 as well as chapter 12, but also to understanding the book of Revelation, which we will begin to study in a few weeks, Lord willing. It will likewise be literally fulfilled. Then, after the Ptolemies and Seleucids, including Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the angel gives Daniel a prophecy about Antichrist, which is yet to be fulfilled. Although the prophecies of chapter 11 were still future at the time they were given to Daniel, verses 1 through 35 have now been fulfilled historically, whereas verses 36 to 45 are still awaiting fulfillment in the future. We remind ourselves that all of these things that happened relating to Israel were allowed by God within His will, and that they were never out of His control, and that they accomplished His purpose. We've already seen in verse 2 the angel's prophecy given to Daniel concerning Persia. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia, which is, of course, against the realm of Greece. These four kings are Cambyses, who reigned from 530 to 522 BC, Pseudo-Smerdis, who reigned from 522 to 521 BC, Darius the First Hystaspes, also called Darius the Great, who reigned from 521 to 486 BC, and Xerxes the First, who reigned from 486 to 465 BC. He was also known as Ahasuerus in the Book of Esther. He was opposed to Greece. The angel's prophecy given to Daniel concerning the Persian Empire has been literally fulfilled. We've already seen in verses 3 through 4 the angel's prophecy given to Daniel concerning Greece. And a mighty king, verse 3, shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. Alexander the Great is the mighty king who will rule with great dominion and do according to his will. His kingdom was represented by the bronze belly and thighs in Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel 2 and by the winged leopard in Daniel 7:6. Alexander the Great was also the notable horn of the he-goat in Daniel 8:6-8. He conquered everything from Greece to India. Upon Alexander's death at age 32 from malaria and complications of alcoholism, his kingdom was divided among his four generals. These four generals represent the four heads of the leopard in 7:6 and the four notable horns of the he-goat in 8:8. The two generals of Alexander which concern the biblical record are Ptolemy and Seleucus. Ptolemy and his descendants ruled over Egypt, whereas Seleucus and his descendants ruled over Syria and Mesopotamia. The angel's prophecy given to Daniel concerning the Greek Empire has been literally fulfilled. In addition, in verses 5 through 20, we have seen the angel's prophecy given to Daniel concerning Egypt and Syria, concerning the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. Verses 5 through 20 describe the ongoing warfare between the kings of the south, the Ptolemies, and the kings of the north, the Seleucids, following the death of Alexander the Great. As they fought with each other, Israel was always in the middle. To get from Egypt to Syria, or from Syria to Egypt, the armies would go through Palestine, and this would adversely affect the Jewish people. The angel's prophecy given to Daniel in verses 5 through 20 has been literally fulfilled. As we move into verses 21 through 35 this evening, we see the angel's prophecy given to Daniel concerning Antiochus Epiphanes. In 11:21 through 35, verses 21 through 35 describe the career of Antiochus IV Epiphanes, who reigned from 175 to 164 BC, who came to the throne by intrigue, according to verse 21, who made several expeditions into Egypt, according to verses 24 through 27, and then turned his hatred on Israel in verse 28. On another expedition into Egypt, he was turned aside by the Romans in verse 29, and on his return will vent his anger on Israel and bring about the Maccabean revolt in verses 30 through 35. Antiochus IV Epiphanes is the little horn referred to in Daniel 8:9-12 and in 8:23-25. Now I refer you back to Daniel 8:9-12. And out of one of them, meaning out of one of the four notable horns, meaning out of Seleucus, the king of Syria, came forth a little horn which waxed, means who grew exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land, which is the glorious land. And it, meaning and he, the little horn, waxed or grew great even to the host of heaven. And it, meaning he, the little horn, cast down some of the host and of the stars, meaning some of God's people, the Jews, to the ground and stamped or and trampled upon them. Yea, indeed, he, the little horn, magnified or exalted himself even to the prince, meaning to the commander, to the chief or to the captain of the host, the prince of the host is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by him, meaning by the little horn, the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his, meaning the place of the commanders, of the chiefs, or of the captain's sanctuary, was cast down. It means the temple was brought low. The temple was desecrated. And an host, meaning the host of heaven, which refers to the Jews, was given him against. It was given him along with the daily sacrifice, meaning the daily sacrifice in the temple, by reason of transgression, suggests because of rebellion, because of Antiochus' rebellious attitude, the Jews complied with his demands. And it, meaning the little horn, cast down or threw down the truth to the ground. And it, meaning the little horn, practiced, means he did, and prospered, suggests, and succeeded, or and was successful. Moving over to Daniel 8:23-25. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors, meaning those in rebellion, are come to the full, have reached their fullness, a king of fierce countenance, meaning a king of bold face or a king of stern face and understanding dark sentences, suggests a king who understands sinister schemes, shall stand up or shall arise. Although the little horn refers to Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes in verse 23, in verse 23, it takes on a dual reference to the Antichrist. Although it includes Antiochus, it goes beyond him. And his, meaning the little horn's, or the Antichrist's, power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, rather by Satan's power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, meaning he will destroy fearfully, or he will destroy to an extraordinary degree, and shall prosper, means, and shall, or and will succeed and practice. He will do his will, or he will perform his will, and shall destroy the mighty, means, and will destroy the mighty men and the holy people, meaning Israel. And through his policy, meaning through his shrewdness, through his cunning, also he shall cause craft, he shall cause deceit to prosper, to succeed in his hand, and he shall magnify or shall exalt himself in his heart. And by peace, meaning in their prosperity, or while they are at ease, shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the princes, the prince of princes, meaning against the Lord Jesus Christ. But he shall be broken without hand, meaning without human means or without human agency. And that's speaking both of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes and of the Antichrist. Of course, Antiochus Epiphanes is a historical character who's long since dead and buried. And the Antichrist is yet to come. But two characters, both of whom are referred to in these couple of verses. Now moving on to our text for this evening, Daniel 11:21. And in his estate, it is speaking here of Seleucus the Fourth Philopater's place, shall stand up a vile, meaning a despicable or a contemptible person. Of course, this is Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. They will not give the honor of royalty to Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, which means that he will obtain the kingdom, and it indicates that he will become king by slipperiness or by intrigue. The throne rightfully belonged to Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes' nephew, Demetrius Soter, but he was a son of Seleucus the Fourth Philopater. Verse 22, and with the arms of a flood, meaning with the force of a flood, shall they, meaning shall an invading army be overflown? Shall an invading army be swept away from before him, meaning from before Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes? So he's going to be victorious over an invading army. And shall be broken, shall be shattered. He, that is Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, was accepted as king because he was able to turn aside an invading army. He also, the Prince of the Covenant, this is the high priest, the Jewish high priest named Onias the Third. Kingdoms were inundated by his military might. Kingdoms were inundated by Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes' military might. And the Jewish prince, Onias the Third, the Prince of the Covenant, meaning the Jewish high priest, was murdered. As you go into verse 23, it says, after the league, meaning after an alliance or after an agreement is made with him, meaning with Antiochus, made with him, he, meaning Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, shall work deceitfully. He will act deceitfully, or he will practice deception. For he shall come up, meaning Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes will rise up and shall become strong with a small people. Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes will gain power with a small group of people. Verse 24, he, meaning Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest, that is, on the richest places of the province, meaning on the richest places of the realm or of the country. And he, meaning Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers, it means nor his ancestors. He shall scatter, and it means he will distribute or he will disperse among them, meaning among his followers, the prey and spoil and riches. He will distribute among his followers the plunder, the booty, and possessions. And it means that he will redistribute wealth. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices. It means that Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes will devise his plans or his schemes against the strongholds, meaning against the fortified places, even for a time, suggests, but only for a time, his reign will come to an end. And in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 25, he, meaning Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, shall stir up his power. It will stir up his strength and his courage against the king of the south, meaning against Ptolemy the Sixth Philometer, the king of Egypt, with a great, meaning with a large army. And the king of the south, meaning Ptolemy the Sixth Philometer, the king of Egypt, shall be stirred up to battle with a very great, meaning with a very large and mighty or and powerful army. But he, meaning Ptolemy the Sixth Philometer, shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him, And it means they will devise plans against him. They will devise schemes against him, meaning against Ptolemy the sixth Philometor. Yea, that feed of, meaning indeed those who eat the portion of his meat. Those who eat the portion of Ptolemy the sixth Philometor's food, of his delicacies or of his provisions, shall destroy him. They will destroy Ptolemy the sixth Philometor, and his army shall overflow, meaning and Ptolemy the sixth Philometor's army will be swept away, and many, many soldiers in Ptolemy the sixth Philometor's army shall fall down slain. Verse 27, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. It means will be very deceptive, will be bent on evil or will be intent on evil, and they shall speak lies at one table, meaning that Ptolemy the sixth Philometor and Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes will speak lies to each other at the same time, but it shall not prosper, meaning they will not achieve peace. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed, and it was not yet at the appointed time. You have to keep in mind, God is allowing all of these things in accordance with his perfect will. Verse 28, then shall he, meaning Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes, return into his land, that's Syria, with great riches, with much plunder, or with great wealth, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. He was set against or opposed to the Mosaic system. And he shall do exploits, means he will take action or he will do damage. He desecrated the temple and will return to his own land, and meaning to his own country. This occurred in 170 BC. On his return to Syria, Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes passed through Israel. He had hoped to capture all of Egypt, but had failed. And he took out his frustrations on the Jews by desecrating the temple. Verse 29, at the time appointed. Now this is in 168 BC. He, meaning Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes, shall return and come toward the south, meaning toward Egypt. Antiochus again intended to conquer Egypt, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. In other words, this time it's not going to turn out as it did the previous time. There's a reason. Verse 30, for the ships of Chittim, which are the ships of Cyprus, which just happened to be the Romans, shall come against him near Alexandria, Egypt. Okay, now all of this is happening as you get closer and closer to the New Testament era. The liberals recognize the historicity of these things just as well as the conservatives. But the liberals, because they cannot tolerate predictive prophecy, want you to believe that the book of Daniel was written after these things occurred, pretending it was prophetic in nature. We don't buy into that at all. So if you find any kind of commentary which teaches that Daniel was written in the second century BC, which would be after 168 BC, it's liberal. Don't bother reading it. Don't bother buying it. Doesn't matter if it's a good purchase price. It's not right. These things were given to Daniel one night or one day, whenever it was, by an angel of the Lord. I believe, if I recall correctly, it was 538 B.C. That's quite a few years before 168, okay? But it was accurate because God knew what he was doing and God allowed these things and they happened right on God's timetable. What happened was that as Antiochus moved into Egypt, he was opposed by the Romans who had come to Egypt in ships from the western coastlands, ships of Kittim or of Cyprus. A letter came from the Roman Senate for Antiochus, forbidding him to engage in war with Egypt. When Antiochus asked for time to consider, the emissary drew a circle in the sand around Antiochus and demanded that he give his answer before he stepped out of the circle. Well, that wasn't very promising to Antiochus, so he submitted to Rome's demands, for to resist would be to declare out war on Rome. And that would not have worked out well for him, and he was intelligent enough to realize it. But this was a humiliating defeat for Antiochus Epiphanes. He will lose heart. And he had no alternative but to return to his own land. Therefore, in verse 30, as we continue verse 30, he, Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes, shall be grieved or disheartened and return and have indignation, meaning become enraged against the Holy Covenant. Returning through Palestine, Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes will take out his anger against Israel. So shall he do. Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes will do damage or will take action. He, Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes, shall even return and have intelligence with. It means he will come back and show regard for, or he will return and show favor to them or to those that forsake the Holy Covenant. Those who forsake the Holy Covenant are apostate Jews, which means that some apostate Jews will collaborate with him, meaning with Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes. Venting his anger on the Jews, Antiochus declared the Mosaic ceremonies illegal and erected in the holy place. And what he erected was probably a statue of Zeus. Some Jews were resisting and were martyred. In verse 31, we read, and arms shall stand on his part. It means his armed forces will arise. And they shall pollute, meaning they will desecrate or they will defile the sanctuary of strength, meaning the sanctuary fortress or the temple fortress. He polluted the temple by offering a sow, which of course was an unclean animal, upon the altar, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. It is the abomination that causes desolation. The abomination of desolation here was probably a statue of Zeus. It would mean that the temple would be desolate because the Jewish people would not be coming. Jesus refers to the Antichrist as the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24:15. This, of course, had happened historically with Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes, and now it's going to happen again in the future prior to the second coming during the second half of the tribulation, where the Antichrist will set himself up as God in the temple at the beginning of the second half of the tribulation. When ye therefore, Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, that's in the temple, whoso readeth, let him understand. In this verse, meaning in Daniel 11:31, the abomination of desolation refers particularly to the time of Antiochus IV Epiphanes, but goes beyond him to refer also to the time of the Antichrist. It is an example of prophecy with a double fulfillment. Verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant is referring to the Jewish apostates, the Jewish renegades who do wickedly against the Mosaic law. Shall he, meaning shall Antiochus IV Epiphanes, corrupt by flatteries, he will turn them to sin or to godlessness. But the people that do know their God shall be strong. It means faithful Jews led by Judas Maccabeus and his family. And they will do exploits. It means they will take action against Antiochus IV Epiphanes, or that they will resist Antiochus IV Epiphanes. For a second time, Antiochus took out his frustration on the Jews, the city of Jerusalem and their temple. He vented his fury against the Holy Covenant, meaning the entire Mosaic system, favoring any renegade Jews who turned to help him. He desecrated the temple and abolished the daily sacrifice. He sent his general Apollonius with 22,000 soldiers into Jerusalem on what was purported to be a peace mission, but they attacked Jerusalem on the Sabbath, killed many people, took many women and children as slaves, and plundered and burned the city. In order to exterminate Judaism and to Hellenize the Jews, he forbade the Jews to follow their religious practices, including their festivals and circumcision, and commanded that copies of the law be burned. Then he set up the abomination that causes desolation. In this culminating act, he erected on December 16, 167 BC, an altar to Zeus on the altar of burnt offering outside the temple, and had a pig offered on the altar. The Jews were also compelled to offer a pig on the 25th of each month to celebrate Antiochus Epiphanes' birthday. Antiochus promised apostate Jews, meaning those Jews who violated the covenant, great reward if they would set aside the God of Israel and worship Zeus, the god of Greece. Many in Israel were persuaded by his promises or his flattery and worshiped the false god. However, a small remnant remained faithful to God, refusing to engage in those abominable practices. The Jews who refused to submit to Antiochus' false religious system were persecuted and martyred for their faith. The word fall in verses 33 and 34, which literally means stumble, refers to severe suffering on the part of many and death for others. This has in view the rise of the Maccabean revolt. Mattathias, a priest, was the father of five sons. One of them, Judas, became well known for refurbishing and restoring the temple in late 164 BC. It's called Hanukkah now. He was called Judas Maccabeus, meaning the hammerer. In 166, Matthias refused to submit to this false religious system, He and his sons fled from Jerusalem to the mountains and began the Maccabean revolt. At first, only a few Jews joined them, but as their movement became popular, many joined them, some out of sincere motives and some from false motives. The suffering that the faithful endured served to refine and purify them. Remember something. God allows things in your life or mine not always to punish somebody or us, but to refine and purify us. The time of persecution was of short duration. It had previously been revealed to Daniel that the temple would be desecrated for 1,150 days. Here Daniel was assured that this persecution would run its course and then be lifted, for its end will still come at the appointed time. Verse 33, "And they that understand among the people," meaning the godly Jews, "shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, and by spoil," or by plunder, "many days." They paid for these things with their lives. "Now when they shall fall," meaning when they stumble, "they shall be holpen," meaning they will be helped with a little help. "But many shall cleave to them with flatteries," meaning many will join them in hypocrisy. Many who are not sincere will join them. Suppose that happens in churches today? Of course it does, especially in the entertainment centers. Their fall or their stumbling refers to severe suffering on the part of many and death for others. And then we come to verse 35. "And some of them of understanding shall fall," meaning will stumble, "to try them," meaning to refine them, "and to purge," meaning to purify, "and to make them white," to make them pure, or to make them spotless, "even to the time of the end, because it is yet," or still, "for a time appointed." All this suffering experienced and endured by the Jewish people was to purify them. It was within the will of God for them. God also allows things in our lives to purify us spiritually, to drive us closer and closer to Him, and to make us more Christ-like. We need to be thankful for His working in our lives for good. Just because you're experiencing some difficulties does not mean that God is punishing you. Realize instead the truth of Romans 8:28 and Psalm 37:23. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He," meaning the Lord, "delighteth in His," meaning in the good man's, "way." The angel's prophecy given to Daniel in verses 21 through 35 concerning Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes has been literally fulfilled. We have seen in this message that prophecy is to be interpreted literally, and we need to remember this as we complete our study of Daniel. We'll have about 2 more weeks as I see it, and then move on to a study of the book of Revelation. Trust this has been helpful to you. I know that if you were to read this without some assistance, you would struggle. I know that because that's what I do. I struggle when I read it too. and I'm helped by some that have done a little more study in the area than I have. Take your hymnals as we get ready to sing. Let's pray before we do, and then we will turn to number 6, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Our Father, thank you for this time when we can study this difficult passage that you've given to us in the scriptures. Thank you that your angel revealed these things to Daniel and that they were faithfully recorded for our benefit. In Jesus' name, amen.